Round 10 is in the books, and only one game to talk about today on the Queensland Huddle because it was the Q Clash. But once again, the Brisbane Lions prevailed, making it 9 on the bounce. Joined, as always, by Brett Thomas. How are you, Tomo?
Flanners, very good. Yeah, it was a game for about 3 and a bit quarters, and then the Lions flexed their muscle, similar to what they did against the Bombers the week before, and they are just humming at the moment.
Now, you called this game for Triple M, and you talk about it being a game for 3 and a bit quarters, and would you agree that the scoreline flatters the Lions, or at least does a disservice to how well the Suns played?
Yeah, I think for the most part, although that tends to be what the Lions do. They can blow teams off the park in a quarter or half a quarter. So they did that against Essendon, who were 10 points up at half time. And then, they can put together a stretch of footy. Their forward line is just so dangerous and has so many weapons that you can't keep them down for four quarters. And that's what the Suns struggle to do.
At the halftime break, it was only a goal in it, and you thought probably Jared Witts and Matty Rowell and Noah Anderson were doing the job that they'd done the last couple of weeks around the football and were dominating stoppages. And then you just saw in that second half, I guess, the cream rise to the top in Lachie Neale. And just, I want to have a conversation about him a bit later on from an individual perspective, but this Lions midfield really flexed their muscle in that second half.
Yeah, as you said, it was their leaders who stood up. It was Lachie Neale, Will Ashcroft won a bit of the footy. And I think the biggest talking point of the night was Josh Dunkley going to Matt Rowell. Chris Fagan has used Jared Berry as a tagger at times when he's wanted to shut down the opposition's best midfielder. On the weekend, it was Dunkley, who was basically face guarding Matt Rowell at stoppages. He's a clearance beast, as we know. And Matt Rowell, I think, had one that was right toward the end of the game. So that was a massive win for Fags. And I guess a lesson learnt there for Matt Rowell. And probably we saw, or felt the absence of Tuk Miller. I think if Tuk Miller was playing, perhaps they might have really given them a shake. Noah Anderson, was still busy, but probably wasn't his usual prolific self.
Oh, they were both certainly down, purely on the numbers. Neither of them got past 20 disposals. But you talk about Tuk Miller, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because Stewie Jew, in his post-match press conference, spoke about just the poor decision-making that the team had at times. Sometimes they were too safe and sometimes they were too aggressive. And, this is a hypothetical because he's injured and he's not there, but you wonder, would Tuk have been the man to help inform that decision-making at the right times, given he has several years more experience than this young midfield group?
Yeah, I reckon Lachie Weller as well. Mac Andrews only played half a dozen games and he had a bit of a weird night. He can sometimes hit some really difficult targets and then miss easy ones. So I think they missed Lachie Weller as much as Tuk Miller. I think Weller might be back this week. But, yeah, certainly from a leadership point of view in the midfield when they needed to because they were controlling the footy in the first half, but when they needed to just settle themselves a little bit, they missed Tuk for sure.
I was really pleased to see Mac Andrew taking the footy in his hands a bit more on the marking front. He ended up with 9 marks, an equal team high along with Charlie Ballard. But I found early in this season, and you're right, he is at best 50-50 by foot, but I found he takes a lot of chest marks. He obviously doesn't have that confidence and comfort in taking it out in his hands at the moment. But early on in the game, I saw him take some strong, confident marks in his hands. And I guess you got a little bit of a glimpse into the potential of this young man.
Yeah, you can see what he's going to be. I guess that's the difficult choice for Stewart Jew at the moment, is that by playing Mac Andrew a bit more and some players that have a lot of development ahead of them, is potentially sacrificing some wins. Jai Farah is in the VFL at the moment, who would, maybe be in his spot. So you can see he's going to be a tremendous talent, but at the moment, took a few marks and did some nice things, but also some bad turnovers as well.
Can we talk a little bit about the reputation of Jack Payne, the ever-growing reputation of Jack Payne? Most people would have looked at a lineup between he and Ben King and thought, oh, this will be a real opportunity for Ben to fill his boots. Now, Ben had a good game. He missed some shots he should have kicked, and then he kicked some that no one probably thought he would kick. But Jack Payne, this young man who's got more of a start in the Brisbane best 22, 23, thanks to the injuries to Darcy Gardner, he's going to be hard to drop.
Yeah, he's still pretty young as well. He's only 23, Jack Payne. And, I think he captured everyone's he got everyone's attention with that job he did on Charlie Curnow a few weeks ago, held him to one goal. Ben King, as you said, I think he took 4 or 5 marks inside 50, missed two in the first quarter. He could have had half a dozen goals. But, yeah, that was a great battle, as was Ballard up the other end on Eric Hipwood, who shaded him for three quarters. Hipwood kicked a couple of goals in junk time, but he was clunking them all night. So at both ends, the key defenders had a say.
And for those unaware, we'll just do a quick check on the goal tally rankings for the AFL season proper. Lions with numbers 4 and 5 on the list, both Charlie and Big Joe with 28 goals to their name this season. So they've gone past the 50 mark already in the season for, as a pairing. Obviously, Jeremy Cameron and Tom Hawkins just shading them at the moment. But they're really this firepower inside this forward 50 is it's starting to scare teams.
Yeah, and the important thing for Big Joe is that he's kicking straight. Well, he kicked 4-1 the other night, similar the week before. I think it was 6-1. When he's kicking straight, and Charlie Cameron is as well, I think they're the best team in the comp. But Fag said after the game, don't put the moz on him. We don't want this to change. So he just makes such a massive difference, and he's playing the best footy he has since he left the Bombers and came to the...
It was that one, I think it was late in the first quarter, where he took the ball, it wasn't from a mark, but he took it and he ran straight at the goal, and he was running dead straight. And we know he's a lefty who likes to arc around, but he ran dead straight and he kicked without deviation and the ball went straight. And it was just this moment of, oh, Joe, just do that.
Yeah, that was an important goal too, because the Suns have been on top 2 weeks in a row when they were looking like they might go goalless in the first quarter. He bobs up and kicks the first. And, yeah, big moment. You almost trust him a bit more on the run or when it's more difficult than, you know, the easier ones straight in front. But, yeah, again, he stepped up when he needed them to.
We are going to take a break very shortly. Only the one game to talk about this week on the Queensland Huddle, but I do want to play a game with you next about this Brisbane Lions team and how far they could go. But it would be remiss of us not to mention the efforts of Bailey Humphrey. This is a young man taken number 6 in the draft by the Suns, got a rising star nod the other week, and probably the Suns' best over the weekend.
Yeah, he was. 26 disposals. His goal early in the fourth quarter brought him within 5 points, and he provides a huge amount of spark. They lost Rankin. We know what a loss that was. But he is that guy up forward and eventually will become a full-time midfielder going up forward. He's got a body already made for AFL footy. It's amazing these guys who come in, Humphrey, Sheasel and Ashcroft, are already mature enough to play consistent AFL minutes. And, he was definitely in their top 3 or 4 players the other night.
And when you imagine him as part of the mix with Rao, pure inside bloke, with Anderson, outside type, took Miller when he's back fit, all of a sudden you get this kind of classic midfielder half forward type in Bailey Humphrey, who could potentially go on to be that goal kicking half forward, not to compare him, but a Christian Petrarca type. It starts to get very, very exciting for the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah, he certainly looks like that. Even his body shape is similar to Petrarca. Alex Davies probably dropped off a little bit this year, but he's another one. They need depth through that midfield because they let some guys go in Will Brody. And they need to develop some guys to take a bit of that load off Anderson, Rao and Miller. Because we saw the other night, Miller's not there and you shut down Rao. Very difficult for Gold Coast to win games.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when Lachie Neal's... Oh, I called him Lachie Clearance. We probably could just call him Lachie Clearance. I meant Lachie Neal, but especially when he's doing the business. Speaking of Lachie Neal, I want to talk to you about him and this broader Brisbane Lions team after the break. The Lions with a 43-point win in the Q Clash, taking home the chocolates once again. You're listening to the Queensland Huddle. Liam Flanagan and Brett Thomas here talking all things Brisbane Lions, Gold Coast Suns. The Q Clash was run and won over the weekend. The Lions prevailing by 43 points in the end. A 6-1 final term blew out the scoreline. Now, Brett, we need to talk about two things. Firstly, from an individual perspective, is Lachie Neal being discussed about as a Brownlow contender enough?
Probably not, but in some ways that's a good thing because they're not having to rely on Lachie Neal to win them games every week. They've brought Josh Dunkley in, and if it's not Dunkley having a blinder, it's Neal or Ashcroft. But he was immense, especially when they needed him to lift in the last quarter. Just his hands and his poise, he was so clean.
This is a guy who's won the Brownlow before, let's not forget that. And I think the whole league seems to have Dacos fever about young Nick and what Collingwood are doing at the moment. And as you say, Lachie and the Lions and what they're putting together just seems to be flying a little bit under the radar. And I can see what will happen. We'll get to about round 17, 18, and everyone will start suddenly going, geez, Lachie Neal's had a statistically had a better season than his Brownlow medal year, and you know he'll be up there in the count because we know he polls well.
Well, he polled well with the Marcus Ashcroft medal the other night. But yeah, I think this year he might have a few teammates taking some votes off him. Big Joe as well, I reckon, might be in the votes the last few weeks.
Well, we know this is... Don't pretend forwards are ever a sniff of winning the Brownlow, Brett. This is a midfielder award. This is what it is. We know this, all right? There's no forwards or defenders or halfbacks getting votes in this thing. It's a midfielder's award. So Lachie Neal will be the number one favourite for the Lions.
Yeah, he will. Look, no chance of winning it, but maybe take the vote off here or there.
All right, I want to play a quick game with you because Stuart Dew in his losing press conference was I don't think he was trying to be gracious or humble, but he was honest in saying that the Lions, and he originally referred to them as a top two side and then checked it and said they're a top four side. And I thought that was very interesting, and I think you can see that they are a class above this Gold Coast Suns team. But then he spoke about the potency and basically said it's the most potent forward line in the AFL. I just want to read you this forward line as it was listed for the Q Clash on the weekend. So we got Charlie Cameron, Jack Gunston, Darcy Wilmot was listed at half forward, Cam Rayner, Joe Danaher, Eric Hipwood. Now we know Zach Bailey runs through there at times. We know Zorko can spend a bit of time up there, and we know the midfielders. But and Lincoln McCarthy is probably the other one off the bench. But that's that forward six, all right? Keep that in mind, because these are the other top four teams. This is Port first up. Jed McEntee, Darcy Byrne-Jones, Sam Powell-Pepper, Ryan Burton, Jeremy Finlayson, and Ollie Lord.
Okay.
What's the better forward line?
Line's easy.
Great. This is Melbourne. Angus Brayshaw, Jacob Van Rooyen, Jack Viney, Cade Chandler, Brody Grundy, Bailey Fritch. What's the better forward line?
Still the Lions.
Collingwood. Bobby Hill, Brody Majcek, Will Hoskin-Elliott, Taylor Adams, Ash Johnson, Jamie Elliott. What's the better forward line?
Still giving it to the Lions. Maybe if you swap the key forwards around, it might be a different story. But I still think Charlie Cameron's the top small forward in the league.
I agree. So I think we can say the Lions have the best forward line in the comp. Right. Let me walk you through the midfield very quickly. As it was named on the weekend, Oscar McInerney, Josh Dunkley, Lachie Neal, Zach Bailey named at centre. And then I'll put the wingman in this conversation as well, Jared Berry and Hugh McCluggage. Keep that in your mind, because that was Brisbane's followers. Port, Scott Lysett, Ollie Wines, Zach Butters, Travis Boak, Connor Rosie, Riley Bonner. What's the better midfield?
Lions.
Melbourne. Ed Langdon, Clayton Oliver, Lachie Hunter, Max Gawn, Christian Petrarca, Cozzy Pickett. What's the better midfield?
That's a tough one. I'll probably give it to the Ds.
Ooh, okay. And then Collingwood lastly. Steel side bottom, Jordan Dugowie, Josh Takos, Mason Cox, Jack Crisp, Tom Mitchell. We know Scott Pendlebury rolls through there as well. What's the better midfield?
I'd probably edge that to the Pies as well.
Okay. So, all right. And now this is the interesting one for mine, because let me run you through the back six, as it's named. So the Lions, Stasevich, Jack Payne, Ryan Lester, Connor McKenna, Harris Andrews, Dane Zorko.
Mm-hmm.
Port, Alir Alir, Trent McKenzie, Tom Jonas, Miles Bergman, Kane Farrell, Dan Houston.
Yeah, I still think Brisbane. I think Port's issue is still their key defenders.
Yep. Melbourne, Judd McVie, Stephen May, Michael Hibbard, Christian Salem, Jake Lever, Trent Rivers.
The Ds.
Those key pillars are very good, aren't they? Yep. And then Collingwood is Isaac Quainer, Darcy Moore, Braden Maynard, Nick Dacos, Nathan Murphy, John Noble.
Well, they only need one man, and that was Darcy Moore on the weekend. Have to give it to the Lions. Obviously, they're missing Howe and Murphy. I'm not sure if he played on the weekend.
But Murphy did play. But
Murphy did play, yeah.
But there was no Jeremy Howe in that. So, okay, so but that's a really interesting exercise for mine right now at this point of the season, because we've given the Lions the nod in the forward half. We've given the Ds the nod in the midfield.
Yep.
And then we've probably given Collingwood the nod down back. And yet I think the Lions are just, they're probably, if they're not second or third in the midfield and the backs conversation, they're, you know, it's a really nicely balanced best 22 right now for the Lions. Do you see any changes to what this team is, could be going into finals?
It's really only on the fringes, I think. You're probably talking in defence. Does Gardner come back in at some point? Ryan Lester's holding his spot at the moment. It's probably match-up dependent. If they play a taller forward line like the Cats with Hawkins and Cameron, Then maybe a Joyce comes in for his height over Leicester, but then obviously Payne and Harris Andrews are locking those two spots down. So I can only see changes on the fringes. Their VFL side, I think, is unbeaten at the moment. Klein Lohman kicked 7 on the weekend, but I really can't see... And Daniel Rich has to come back in. But other than that, I think their 22 is pretty set.
And then when you consider that the interchange is Coleman, well, as it was named, is Coleman, Sharp, McCarthy and Ashcroft. Well, Coleman's got a glute injury. I'm not sure what the severity of that's going to be for him, but you know he's in their best side. McCarthy, Ashcroft, both in their best side. Harry Sharp is probably one who's going to have to fight for his spot throughout the rest of the season. So it really does look like there's maybe one spot that's up for grabs come finals for this Lions side if they can stay fit and healthy.
Yeah, the only kind of positions that chop and change some weeks is the wings. So Sharp comes in a couple of weeks ago. Pryor's been tried there. Archie played his first game of the season on the weekend. So it's really those only kind of fringe positions that I don't think is going to make a gigantic difference in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, I like it, Brett. I know we're only very early, but I like the fact that I've been brave enough to take us into talking about finals and the best possible team and who might be there on that final game of the year. It's getting me all tingly and goosebumpy, bud. Righto, hey, we'll let you get back to it. Next week, we'll resume to our normal roles with you in the hosting chair and me just shooting off half-thought-out answers to all your questions. Brett Thomas, enjoy your week. Go Lions, go Suns, and we'll talk to you next week.
Love it. Thanks, Flanners.